Pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
The pastor said, all I got to do is say he was a saint, and you write $100,000. He said, yes, sir. So the pastor got up to start the eulogy, and he said, well, we've come today to bury old Joe, and everybody knows old Joe wasn't by any means perfect, but compared to his brother, he was a saint.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Unlimited, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I'm going to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It could be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Now, more on this later in the program, but right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? Christians, at our worst moments, we are still holy, and at our best moments, we're still human. It makes us holy and human. I'm going to be going through a section of Acts 14 today, sort of line by line, but I want to give you just two verses that will plant the seed of today's message. In Acts 14, 11, after God has used Paul to heal a man who had been crippled from birth, verse 11, when the crowds saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lyconian, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And so they want to worship them. And at verse 19, how quickly the sentiment changes. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. One minute they want to worship him, the next minute they want to kill him. Because sometimes they'll want to worship you, and sometimes they'll want to wallop you, and you can't build your life on either. There was a rascal of a man, his name was Joe, who died, and everyone knew he was a liar and a cheater and unfaithful in every way. And before the service, the memorial service, Joe's brother came to the pastor and said, Pastor, said, listen, it's really important for me to you to say nice things about my brother. And the pastor said, well, we all know it was who kind of man he was. And the brother said, I know. He said, but pastor said, I tell you, I am prepared to write a check for $100,000 to donate to your church if you'll just tell everybody that my brother was a saint. The pastor said, all I got to do is say he was a saint. You write $100,000. He said, yes, sir. So the pastor got up to start the eulogy, and he said, well, we've come today to bury old Joe, and everybody knows old Joe wasn't by any means perfect, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. A saint is not a person who is somehow more gifted or even better than others. Biblically speaking, a saint literally is a holy one. It means that every single Christian is someone who has been so thoroughly forgiven by God and so completely set apart in Christ that any single Christian, and we together as the body of Christ, Jesus said, would do the things that Jesus did and even greater things, because we are holy. But we are absolutely human also, and that's part of what this text is about, a story about Paul. People think because God used him in such a miraculous way, he must be a god. And Paul, who is just astonished and appalled that anyone would think like that, because he realized just how human he is. And in just moments, the crowd turns and they're ready to try to kill him. I remember years ago, I was at a pastor's conference. Bishop T.D. Jakes was speaking, and he was at the time, as he is still, one of the most renowned preachers in the nation. And he was talking about not giving over too much influence in your life of to the flattery or the criticism of others. And he said that one time he was walking down the streets of Atlanta with a colleague on a way to a meeting, and someone recognized him and started hollering out at him and started just speaking all kinds of terrible things. Bishop Jakes, you're the worst thing. Bishop Jakes, you're an imposter. Bishop Jakes, you're nothing but a hypocrite. And just was going on all this negative. And T.D. Jakes said, you know what I did? I kept on walking. He said, and one block later, somebody else recognized me and started hollering out and said, Bishop Jakes, oh, you're the most wonderful person in the world. You changed my life, Bishop Jakes. You're the most special. You're the most gifted preacher in the nation, all this stuff, you know. And he said, you know what I did? I just kept on walking. Because in this life, sometimes they want to worship you and sometimes they want to wallop you. And you got to know your identity in Christ rather than from the fickle crowds. Let's look at this incredible miracle story. Acts 14, verse 5 to 7. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and stone them, they learned of it, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. So the reason that they're in Lystra is because they were persecuted in the previous city. I'm trying to keep a map in front of you, but we've got it here, just to show you that they move first from Antioch over in Syria down to Cyprus and then up to these provinces of Asia Minor, where basically a pattern emerges where they preach the gospel and many, many people are saved, and there are signs and there are wonders. And then leading Jews begin to persuade the crowds to persecute them, and they're persecuted, and they are brought to the point of being executed, and so they have to then escape. And they escape to go to another city, and this is part of how the gospel spread. It's just a pattern in the book of Acts. We'll come to verse 8 of Acts 14. Now, at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. The emphasis on being crippled from birth reminds us of some other accounts in the book of Acts, specifically earlier when Peter is used by the Lord to bring healing to a man who had never been able to walk before. And we see in that story, the man was a beggar, and this man would have been a beggar also. When you are disabled like that in the culture, you just had to rely on others' charity to even be able to eat. And so his situation is desperate. He has no place in society, and he has no real advocacy for him. And listen to what happens. Watch this. At verse 9, he listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. We spent the first half of this year exploring a new spiritual principle, an idea of a discipline that is not commonly spoken of. The idea of, instead of trying to think what Jesus would do and imitate that morally, instead to invite, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus to show us how he sees. Because, as we talked about for months, the way that you see shapes how you think and feel and forms all your behaviors. So, if you perceive a situation to be one that is threatening, then you'll respond in a defensive way. If you perceive a person to be wicked who's actually good, you'd treat them as a wicked person. And when we misunderstand situations and we misunderstand people, then we're not going to think or feel appropriately towards them. But what would happen if you could get Jesus' eyes and you begin to see as Jesus sees? Well, instead of then trying to build your life on moral conformity to patterns of behavior, you're living a Spirit-led life where you're discerning through the eyes of Jesus. And then your behaviors, your thoughts, and feelings all just follow.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
God's always been there. In every moment you narrowly escaped from danger. In every moment you were surprised by a blessing. In every moment you just knew the direction to take. God was there. Your life is defined by countless moments of God's grace. Perhaps they've been covered by the sands of time or have just gone unnoticed in the rush of life, but your life is full of God moments. When you make a gift today, we'll send you Pastor Allen's heart-stirring book, God Moments, that will lead you on a spiritual treasure hunt to uncover your God moments. It's Alan Wright's timeless book, God Moments. Discover your God moments in the past and be filled with fresh faith today. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
A very similar story to this, where Peter, in the book of Acts, is walking by a man who had been crippled from birth, and probably Peter had walked past this man hundreds of times. But the text said that Peter stopped and looked at him very intently. It's at verse 4 of Acts 3. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something. So this beggar was expecting that when Peter said, "Look at us," that it was because the beggar was going to receive some alms. But verse 6 of Acts 3, Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the language of this is so interesting. It is, for lack of any better phrase, Peter did a double take. So what happened was, there's a man who's lame from birth, and he's always out begging. Peter's probably walked by him hundreds of times. And Peter's walking by on this day, and all of a sudden he looks in, he glances at him, like, see him, and all of a sudden he stops and he turns and he begins looking and gazing intently at the man. Have you ever done that? You ever done a double take? You're like, it's something you wouldn't normally notice, and all of a sudden you're like, "What? What is that?" Well, what was Peter seeing? Well, it's the same thing Paul saw in this story. It's fascinating. Look again at verse 9 of our chapter, Acts 14, verse 9. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him, and here's the phrase to highlight, seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." What was he seeing? How do you see that someone had faith to be made well? Did the man say something? Was the man just leaning in intently and looking more focused on the preaching? How can you see faith on someone? Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, on the one hand, we feel like that, yes, we can see confidence or fear. I don't know why I was thinking back famously. It was part of what was attributed to the win of John F. Kennedy over Richard Nixon in 1960, because it was the first televised debate. And evidently, both men refused to wear makeup before the day. Actually, I went back and read it. Kennedy, who either had a natural tan or it was a result of Addison's disease that he had, but he had this warm-looking complexion and a young, good-looking man, and he said he was not going to wear any professional makeup for the debate. And Nixon heard that and was worried that if people found out he did wear makeup and Kennedy didn't, that that would come back to haunt him, so he refused makeup also. But Nixon, it turned out, had a real thick beard. He joked one time and said if he shaved 30 minutes later, he had a 5 o'clock shadow. And so right before he went on, there was some product, I think it was called Instant Shave or something like that. It was an over-the-counter product that you dab on your face, and it was basically a makeup, you know. I mean, it was just an over-counter thing that made you look like you had a fresh shave, and his staff convinced him to put it on. Well, two things. Nixon, it turns out, had scraped his leg badly while campaigning in North Carolina and had gotten infected. And so he'd been very feverish and he'd lost about 20 pounds and he was really tired. And he just put this fake shave stuff on, put this fake stuff on that started failing him by the end of the debate. So he was perspiring. So people thought that Nixon was anxious and that Kennedy was confident. It really wasn't actually the case. It was a lot of other things that was going on. So it's really interesting to say, well, could you tell who has faith and who has fear? Well, I mean, in one sense, you could look at someone and say, oh, they look nervous, you know, if they were perspiring and they were shaking or something, and someone else looks really confident. So in a sense, maybe in the natural, but you know how unreliable that is for us to say we see that someone had faith to be healed. So what is it that Paul, like Peter in chapter 3, what is it he saw? Well, I think I understand, because I've had many moments in the Spirit where this very thing's happened to me. It was so interesting, first time I really experienced this in a meeting, in a spiritual meeting. I was just minding my business. Many of you heard my testimony, minding my business with my nice Presbyterian church in Durham, where I'd been for 7 years, and my mom called and told me in 1993, there were some meetings at her church, a non-denominational church. She said, it's like Pentecost has broken out here, you got to come. And I was comfortable with my situation. And our church was not as exuberant in worship as hers. And so I wasn't really comfortable. But eventually Ann and I went, and there was a young Pentecostal evangelist named Richard Moore who was there. And I'd never seen anything really like it before. Because what Richard would do in the course of the meetings, after he'd preach, he'd start ministering, and this young evangelist would just look around the room. All of a sudden, he'd look over to the side, and he'd say, you, ma'am, there, yes, you, quickly, come here. Well, of course, everybody wanted to go up, because everybody that got prayed for was getting some sort of major blessing, supernatural joy or a healing or something. And so even though it's just in so many ways you can think, I don't want to go to a meeting where somebody's going to just call me up front. You know, it's the ultimate violation of boundaries. But that's what was happening in these meetings. And he would just call people up, and almost everybody who would call up would just be really, really touched by the Lord. And it ended up becoming a dear friend of mine, Richard did, because my life got touched with that ministry. And I remember that first week when I started getting to know him, I said, well, how are you deciding who to call up? And now this is Pentecostal language. He said, I see the anointing on them. Now, what does he mean by that? How do you see? He said, it was basically saying the same thing that this text is saying, that Paul saw that he had faith to be made well. Well, how can you see that? Is it because they were leaning in? Is it because they looked different? Because they weren't sweating like the rest of the crowd? I don't know. You know, it just, you know, and you can't describe this, because this is mystical, and it is something that comes, as I was saying earlier, by seeing with the eyes of Jesus. Well, since that time, many, many times, I've had that same experience. Some things you just could only know by the Spirit. Sometimes you'll just know because Jesus has given you his vision. Sometimes you're going to know in a conversation with someone that it's time for you to turn that conversation right into a spiritual way. And you're going to just know. Sometimes you're just going to have a sense where you're just in some sort of gathering. Maybe it's just some Christmas dinner party. And for some reason, your heart is drawn to go talk to this particular individual because you sense there's some kind of receptivity or need and God wants to do something in their life. This is part of the inheritance of any Christian. As many as are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So this dramatic miracle takes place because Paul saw in the Spirit that this lame beggar had a gift of faith that had been dropped upon him that he could be made well. So at verse 10, in a loud voice, stand upright on your feet, and he sprang up and began walking. This is a great, great instance of the kind of prayer that is more of a proclamation than it is a petition. It is a prayer, but it is a declarative prayer. And it's powerful when this kind of prayer is released and in the Spirit authorized within you according to the Word of God and according to the leading of God to release this kind of prayer. It's not really the norm of Christian prayer for the sick. In fact, the norm for Christian prayer for the sick is in James chapter 5, verse 14. Anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So we are not instructed in the scriptures that the main way that we pray is by simply declaring things. I mean, Jesus himself, when he was asked by disciples, teach us how to pray, he gave them a prayer that had request to the Lord. Lord, will you give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Prayer is the body of Christ interceding, lifting up in confidence and faith according to the Word of God in the Spirit, requests unto the Lord for him to do marvelous and amazing things. But there are times, and this is one, and there are numbers of instances in the New Testament throughout the book of Acts where the proclamation is so sure that it is a prayer that is essentially just announced. And so what happened here was that Paul saw, let me put it this way, he saw a miracle before it happened. In saying he saw the man had faith to be made whole, it means that Paul saw in the Spirit that God was about to do the miracle. And therefore, when Paul spoke it, he released it.
Alan Wright, today's good news message, Only Human, from the series Unlimited. Pastor Alan is coming back here in the studio sharing a parting good news thought for the day. I encourage you to stick around.
Unlock the power of blessing your life. Discover God's grace-filled vision for your life by signing up for Alan Wright's free daily blessing. If you want to fill your heart with grace and encouragement, get Alan Wright's daily blessing. It's free and just a click away at PastorAlan.org. God's always been there. In every moment you narrowly escaped from danger. In every moment you were surprised by a blessing. In every moment you just knew the direction to take. God was there. Your life is defined by countless moments of God's grace. Perhaps they've been covered by the sands of time or have just gone unnoticed in the rush of life, but your life is full of God moments. When you make a gift today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's heart-stirring book, God Moments, that will lead you on a spiritual treasure hunt to uncover your God moments. It's Alan Wright's timeless book, God Moments. Discover your God moments in the past and be filled with fresh faith today. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
Back now in the studio to share Pastor Alan's parting good news thought for the day. And someone's listening right now and they've identified, we're placing a bookmark here. We'll have the conclusion to the teaching on our next broadcast. But Pastor Alan, they've been here. The sentiment, only human. Well, maybe that's a relief.
Yeah, it's a relief. And it also is the greatest thing you could ever say because human beings are made a little lower than the angels. You know, it's a beautiful story in Acts 14 when when this miracle takes place, people want to worship Paul and Barnabas. You know, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men, and Paul is just saying, you know, I'm only human, and I think part of the principle of this, and I can't remember if we gave it this subtitle or not to that message, but I had made a note that. The subtitle, sometimes they worship you, sometimes they wallop you. You never can know for sure. So you need to remember whether people feel like worshiping you or feel like walloping you. Either way, you're only human. And in the end, it's a profound encouragement to know we're just here, just as humans, but we can trust in God and He can do supernatural things through us.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.